You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
The coming Four Blood Moons points to a world-shaking event that will happen between April 2014 and October 2015. Jesus said in Mark 13, 24-26, "But in those days the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." That verse describes a time in the future when the sun and the moon will eclipse at the same time. And God sends planet Earth a signal that something big is about to happen. He's controlling the sun and the moon right now to send our generation a signal. But the question is, are we getting it?
That's John Hagee, a rather popular Bible teacher, end times teacher, claiming that something big, he doesn't specify what that something big is going to happen because of four, as he calls them, blood moons, four lunar eclipses. I was out just looking at the lunar eclipse about a month and a half ago, stayed up late, wanted to see what it looked like. It was interesting. I don't think it was a portend of things to come necessarily. How does John Hagee handle not only the astronomical data, but also the biblical data when he writes books like Four Blood Moons? We'll be reviewing that book with James Patrick Holding here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome on this Friday afternoon, June the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. We'll be doing our Christ in the Old Testament series. We'll also talk with Paul Marshall of the Hudson Institute about the war on Christians. Africa, Asia, the Middle East, all over, we're finding that Christians are the most persecuted religious group. We'll find out what it's all about. And then, in the last 25 minutes of Issues Etc., since it is Friday afternoon, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. We have four soundbites that we'll play for you, and we will play them one at a time, one, two, three, four. You listen carefully, and then your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That means all you got to do is listen. Then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc. It'll be your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. That goes to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last 25 minutes of the program. Joining us to talk about televangelist John Hagee's book called Four Blood Moons, J.P. Holding. He's president of Tecton Apologetics Ministries. He's author of the book, Jesus Was a Mushroom and Other Lies You Won't Believe. And he's written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Hagee's Magic Apologetics. J.P., welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You say that when someone interprets the Bible the way John Hagee does, really the only limits are one's own imagination. What do you mean by that?
In Hagee's particular case, what he's done over the years is take any number of particular current events and interpret them as an indication that the end times predicted, as some would say, in the book of Revelation are soon to come to pass. And he's done this with many different events over the past 15 or 20 years. And one of the things I point out is that early on in 1996, he wrote a book called The Beginning of the End, in which he said the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin was a sign that biblical times and prophecy was about to be fulfilled. And then 3 years later, he wrote another book called From Daniel to Doomsday, in which it was the Y2K bug, which was a sign that the end was to be fulfilled. And then in 2008, he wrote a book called Financial Armageddon, in which he said that the recession was a sign that the end was coming soon. Now, what makes that interesting is each time he wrote one of these new books, he completely forgot about what he wrote in the prior books. In other words, you don't see any mention of Yitzhak Rabin in the last two books. And so in this case, with Four Blood Moons, now he's found yet another event in which he can say, oh, here's another sign of the end times. What about the last ones you did? Oh, I forgot about those, apparently so.
Okay, let's talk about who John Hagee is, just a little introduction. Then I want to come back to that, the amnesia that both the author and his readers seem to exercise so easily over these prediction after prediction. Who is John Hagee? How would you describe him as a Bible teacher?
John Hagee is a pastor of San Antonio's Cornerstone Church. And I've not watched him too often. In fact, when the Journal asked me to write this article, I had actually seen very little of him on television and just read a few of his books. But he is a popular teacher on end times theories, and he also has a particular concern for the modern state of Israel. He's very politically interested in the state of Israel and the Jewish people.
Would you say he's in the mainstream of dispensational teaching, that is, this end times teaching that breaks all of human history and even the Bible up into various dispensations and focuses mostly on the end times nowadays?
Yeah, I would not say he's as mainstream as, say, Tim LaHaye with the Left Behind series, but he's certainly in that same ideological camp.
So how is it that he can write book after book, one about every, what, 4 or 5 years, that sell well? How can he write book after book and change the sign of the end times, maybe even the predictions themselves, with such alacrity? How does he get away with that?
Well, I ask myself the same question, and I actually don't understand why people continue to believe in him. I've may try someday to ask one of the people who is a fan of his literature, like, why do you continue to believe what this man says? And perhaps they think that, well, it's, you know, he's fallible, but the Bible is not. Therefore, you know, it's, we can just keep giving him another chance. But you know, as we all know, we have so many failed end times teachers. And I'm sure many people who are listening will remember in 1988 we had a gentleman named Edgar Wisnant who gave us 88 reasons why the rapture would take place in 1988. As far as I know, we're still waiting. But that man wrote a new book every year for several years after that explaining why he was wrong. And I think he kept it up until he died in the mid-90s or so.
It was a month or so ago that we had one of these blood moons. It was a lunar eclipse. I actually stayed up late enough to go out and see at least a portion of it. I found it astronomically interesting in those terms. Hagee has a book, Four Blood Moons. What are the basic claims of John Hagee's book?
His basic claim is that these blood moons in a set of four are rare occurrences and that they occur at the same time as major events in Jewish history. Now, on the one hand, yes, it's true, you don't see too many of these sets of four blood moons in a row over like a year and a half period, and there have only been like eight or so in the past, you know, since the first century. But there are a couple of points where he fails on this. One is that there were some blood moons that he did not make any reference to. He appeals to blood moons that occurred in the 1490s, the 1949, 1950s, and 1967 and 1968. But there were also some that occurred like in the first and the medieval period, first century in the medieval period, where he does not even mention those. And so, of course, he does not connect them to any particular dates in Jewish history. And then when he says, well, these are connected to important dates in Jewish history, what do you mean by important and how close do they have to be? For example, he connects the 1949 and 1950 blood moon to the 1948 founding of Israel. But that's not the time of the blood moons. That's a year before. And on the other side of the equation, surely one of the greatest events in Jewish history ever was the Holocaust. But where was the blood moons during that period? There weren't any blood moons during that time. And so there's no consistency. He can simply pick any event that he finds significant in Jewish history and say, this is it. And when you define significant as broadly as he does, it's not too hard to find something.
So this is special pleading. This is simply being very selective with the data and claiming that you're seeing, at the very least, some kind of divine pattern or sign?
That would be a very good way of putting it, yes.
So what does he say this – does he come out and say – I mean, sometimes these predictors hedge their bets that the blood moons of our particular time now are either portending or signaling. Does he come out and say what it is?
No, in this case, I think he's learned his lesson from his past mistakes finally, and he is not saying that anything particular will happen. He's just saying something big. That's all he says, is something big is about to happen. He won't say what it is, although he does qualify by saying it's, you know, it may not be the rapture, it may not be Jesus coming back, but it's going to be something big in Israel. And again, this is that issue of something significant happening. The way events have been in the Middle East for the past several decades, even before I was born, it's not too hard a bet to say that something major is going to happen sometime in the next year and a half or even surrounding that year and a half period. And so he's hedged his bets this time to make it easier for him to qualify to be right.
Well, and he gets to be the one who at some point here in the future says, this is what I was talking about all along. Whatever
right.
event, all he has to do is just wait for something
yes.
of quote-unquote significance to occur, doesn't he?
That's right, and it can be anything that we might even consider minor, but he will say, well, that was significant, or that will become significant. But then again, even if that fails, I think he can count on being able to, in 4 or 5 years more, write yet another book, and people will have forgotten all about the Blood Moons by that time.
James Patrick Holding is our guest. We're talking about televangelist John Hagee's book, Four Blood Moons, on this Friday afternoon, June the 20th. He has written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Hagee's Magic Apologetics. More with J.P. Holding when we come back.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hymnody is important, very important. It's an invaluable tool that helps teach and confess the faith. Singing hymns is something we all do together on a weekly basis, yet some congregations find it difficult to sing confidently without the support of an instrument. If you are one of these congregations that can't find an organist, Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows your hymns and liturgy to be played on your instrument to help inspire and support your congregation's song. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
The Bible speaks of signs in the heaven. What does it mean? What is the prophetic significance? Is this the end of the age? And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. I believe that the heavens are God's billboard, that he has been sending signals to planet Earth, and we just haven't been picking them up. I'm going to walk you through 500 years and show you how God is literally screaming at the world, I'm coming soon.
There is televangelist John Hagee. More of his teaching from his book, Four Blood Moons, making predictions of something big that's going to happen. He won't say what it is, in conjunction with four lunar eclipses. And quoting from the Old Testament prophet Joel chapter 2 to boot, how does he use that passage, or should we say misuse that passage? We're reviewing his book, Four Blood Moons, with James Patrick Holding, president of Tecton Apologetics Ministries, author of the book Jesus Was a Mushroom and Other Lies You Won't Believe. And he's written a review of John Hagee's book in the Christian Research Journal called Hagee's Magic Apologetics. James, let's talk a little bit about the difficulties that, as you say, his John Hagee's philosophy presents.
I would say the best term to describe it would be newspaper exegesis, and that's where you're constantly searching the newspaper looking for a fulfillment of the prophecies in Revelation. And since you're trying to do that, you're going to be inclined to naturally interpret just about anything as a sign of a prophecy being fulfilled at some near time. That is what lies at the heart of Hagee's methodology. And he's not unique in that regard. I mean, Hal Lindsey is well known for that kind of thing, too.
He appeals to the Old Testament prophet Joel, the second chapter. What does he find there? What does he say about it? And is he justified in appealing to that particular section of Scripture?
Yes, well, Joel says, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he looks at that and says, well, you see, we have these four blood moons coming, and we also have a solar eclipse in the midst of that, and so here's a sign that something is about to come. And he even uses the words high-definition billboard to describe these eclipses, saying that they signal that a judgment of God is coming. Now, it's open to question whether Joel is referring to literal eclipses in that particular passage. In that period when Joel wrote, biblical peoples considered the sun and the moon to be symbols of political entities. And we do the same thing today. Of course, we have the 50 stars on the American flag, each of which represent a state. And so Joel's message is very likely more something saying that governments are going to fall. That's what he means by the sun and the moon being eclipsed, rather than that he's referring to some literal eclipse.
Okay, and so he's reaching back there. He's cherry-picking a passage that he says applies to the sequence of four blood moons that we are supposed to experience here in the early 21st century?
Yes, he would say that this is another pattern example of Joel 2:31 being fulfilled.
Does he deal with the fact, and you point this out in your article, that for a lunar eclipse to occur, it must be a full moon, that Jewish festivals are set to occur on or around full moons because they're following a lunar calendar? Does he deal with the fact that that is merely, that's not some sort of divine signboard, as he says, but in fact simply the coincidence of how the Old Testament Jewish people were told to keep their calendar and these astronomical events?
Well, he acknowledges that to some extent, but his claim is that because we have the four blood moons in a row, four total lunar eclipses in a row with no like partial lunar eclipses in between, that is something more significant than usual. In that respect, he is correct, because it is rather unusual, again, to have these four lunar eclipses, full lunar eclipses in a row. But again, it's still not as rare as he would make it out to be, and he still fails to tie some of them to historic events. And so he doesn't even keep up with his own pattern consistently.
Does he deal with the fact that some of these events are visible, the ones that are set to happen here in 2014-15 are visible only in some very remote places in the world?
No, and that's the thing that I think is most telling, is that he does not give his readers any sort of map or any sort of explanation as to where these eclipses can be seen. You would think that if these are signs for Israel, that they would be all visible in Israel. But at most, one of the lunar eclipses to come will be. And in the past, I mean, the solar eclipses that he appeals to in the past and the one in the future, they're visible over places like the Antarctic and the Arctic, where maybe you have a few Inuit tribesmen watching, but you certainly don't have any people from Israel aware of it. And you know, to be fair, when you have a total solar or lunar eclipse, you also have partial lunar and solar eclipses visible in a wider range of areas. But he has staked his claim on a total lunar and solar eclipse being the appropriate sign. So he can't really make that kind of appeal.
One of the things that Hagee has made a name for himself in doing is speaking of America as having a central place in God's divine end times plan. Of course, Israel for him is the center of the bullseye, but he often weaves in events in American life, geopolitics. Does he do so also in Four Blood Moons?
Not so much in this one. The focus, you know, America, of course, is referred to, but the focus in here is mainly on Israel and events connected to that. There's very little reference to America. And yet, you're right, he has referred to American events before in some of his earlier books, and especially the one connected to the Y2K bug, but not this time so much.
So how would you, kind of stepping back from all of this, how would you account for the appeal that writings like these books, Four Blood Moons, and the other books by John Hagee and the many other end times predictors or prognosticators, how would you account for their appeal, James?
My only guess would be that, having had some relatives who are into this kind of thing before, is that people are looking for some kind of easy and quick solution, saying, well, Jesus is coming back, now we won't have to worry, and now we can just sit back and wait a bit, and then we don't have to, and we'll all be gone, we'll all be raptured, and that will take care of everything. And that's what I think people are wanting to look for here. They are wanting to look for something that will bring them the joy that they've been looking for all that time.
You, you refer to Hagee's writings, in a particular these books and Four Blood Moons, as hucksterism. What do you mean by that, and why do you say that?
Well, hucksterism basically means that I'm not so sure that he honestly believes the things that he's writing. I cannot help but think that he is aware that he has failed all these times, and yet he continues to produce books. And so you have to ask yourself why he's doing that. And obviously we can't read his intentions, but if I were to see that in anyone else, I would seriously wonder if they knew what they were doing, whether they were just simply playing on people's gullibility.
James Patrick Holding is president of Tecton Apologetics Ministries. He's author of the book Jesus Was a Mushroom and Other Lies You Won't Believe, and he's written an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled Hagee's Magic Apologetics. You'll find a link to Tecton Apologetics Ministries and to the book Jesus Was a Mushroom and Other Lies You Won't Believe under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. JP, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Well, it's always interesting to review books like John Hagee's Four Blood Moons. They would require you to suspend your disbelief, even when you open the Bible or when you open the newspaper, in order to believe the claims made therein. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, called Hello, My Name is Single, does not require you to suspend your disbelief, to twist Scripture in any way whatsoever, or to ignore any significant emphasis in Scripture. It is about a biblical scriptural view of the vocation of singleness, whether that singleness is for life or only temporary before marriage. Hello, My Name is Single is a great book. It's written by Adrian Dorr Heinz, a regular guest here on the program. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Hello, My Name is Single, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, Paul Marshall is going to join us from the Hudson Institute Center for Religious Freedom. We'll talk about the widespread and underreported persecution of Christians.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden,
Egypt, France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong,
Austria,
Finland,
Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.